There's a wonderful book on grace by a philosopher and a writer by the name of Piet Fransen, which suggests how well we look at the story, understand the gospel story today by how we react to this one story that he suggests. Imagine a man who during his whole life has lived entirely careless about God and morality. He's selfish, arrogant, ignores the commandments of God, ignores all things religious, and is basically consumed with his own self, pursuing his own pleasure, wine, sex, and song. That's all it's about for him in life. Everything's about him. And then, just hours before his death, he discovers God. He repents of all of his irresponsibility and makes a sincere confession. He receives into the church, receives the sacraments of the church, and dies inside that moment of conversion. If our reaction to the story is, well, that's wonderful that he received the grace of conversion before he died, well, we might be fooling ourselves, because more likely than not, our reaction is one of aghastness, that we are mad and angered, we're livid over what this man got away with. How could he do this? He spent his whole life living for himself in all sorts of corruptible, terrible ways, and now he gets heaven besides. And we walk away in a very angry way. That latter emotion is that same prodigal son, or the brother of the prodigal son emotion. You know, we look at the son of the father who went away and spent and squandered all this money. His whole life was wasted, and now he's welcomed home and forgiven. How can this be? And those kinds of scenarios bother us greatly, because our sense of justice is that when we do good things, when we put in the time and the energy, then we get more. When we allow ourselves to be more spectacular in good things, in committing acts of kindness and generosity and compassion, when we live out a faithful life, a life of selflessness, well, then we're near sainthood or just slightly below that. And we think our lives are going to be generously rewarded for everything that we've done. And somehow that's justice. Or even when we look at the people around us as well, who deserves justice? Well, the people who strive and struggle against sin and oppression, these people are very, very worthy of some kind of justice. But what about those persons who don't seem to live out a life of goodness, who seem to be involved in all sorts of corruptible, terrible things? Can they also receive justice? Aren't they also deserving of justice as well? And that's really a challenge for us, a challenge of who we are as we live in God's house. Our basic premise is that when you do good, that you receive good. When you do bad, well, you receive bad. And that's how we were raised. And that's basically what our faith talks about, too. Our faith says that we are called to live lives of faithfulness. Otherwise, then we receive condemnation for doing wrong things. But who can understand the precepts of God? We are not called to judge by human standards. We're called to judge and to live by God's standards. And that's what makes it so difficult today. And to be sure, that's where St. Peter comes in. The story of the gospel today is addressed to St. Peter and his apostles, who, after maybe a long day of preaching and teaching and healing, have come and sat down around Jesus and said, you know, Jesus, we've done all these good things. We've been doing good things. We've been preaching and proclaiming the word of God. We're tired. We're hungry. We're sleepy. All these kinds of things have been going on in our lives. It's very difficult sometimes to make known your word. People are chasing us around with pointy sticks and sharp instruments. What's in it for us? We've given up all these things for the kingdom. What's in it for us? Jesus addresses this parable, reminding us that all good people who are morally and religiously bearing the heat of the day, they'll be rewarded. But so are those who come in at the last second. So are those who have this instant conversion experience at the last moment of life. They also are welcomed into the kingdom of God, because God's reward of heaven is wonderful. It is awesome. It's overwhelming. It's beyond our imagining. But it is God's generosity, it's God's grace, it is God's goodness that God gives to all persons. God continues to pour out upon all persons all sorts of blessings, all sorts of grace. And we should be thankful for that. But rather, sometimes what we do, we don't enjoy God's graces or God's goodness because we spend a lot of time sitting back looking at what everyone else receives, how much, what portion everyone else has. So we can't enjoy the goodness of God in our own lives as well. God builds up and fills up what is lacking in our lives. And if we spend our time and our energy sort of comparing notes and seeing what someone has, what talents someone else doesn't have, well, we miss the point of the kingdom of God. That what we have is to build up this kingdom, build up this place, build up this spiritual house. That all of us have a task to do. All of us have a ministry. And we are called to gather together our talents, the things that we can do, the way that we can identify and testify and proclaim the word of God to respond to the needs and concerns of the world around us. Justice, to be sure, we think of it so often in terms of what's fair, and our understanding of what's fair is just as the gospel hears today, that the persons who work longer deserve more. But God doesn't see it that way. God thinks of justice in terms of people's dignity. What is right for a decent life? The people who came late had the same right to a decent life as the ones who worked all day. So they are treated equally. Nothing is taken from anyone, but they are all treated in accord with their dignity. God has made all men and women holy, and there is a sacredness, a reverence about each and every one of us. And each and every one of us has a right not only to the holiness of life of God, that connection and communion with God forever and always, but in this world, as we journey towards that kingdom of heaven, we also have that right to a decent life as well. Food and shelter and family and friendship, all these are part of God's justice. My thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my way, says the Lord. We would be better to have a world in which we adopt some of God's ways. The Lord is just in all his ways. And that's something that we cannot always say about our ways of treating one another, our ways of responding to the brokenness and the hurts and the pains of people around us. It's easy to give to a poor family or to help out someone who lives in poverty or sickness, or hurt or pain when they seem to, in our own view of things, to be living out a good life. Those are good people. Those are nice people. So we should give more to them. Those people over there, well, they seem to do bad things. They've been involved with bad things. They've done things that are irreproachable in their lives, things that are very offensive to us. So maybe they shouldn't get as much. But God's grace and God's blessing are the same for all peoples because God reigns, as we're told, on the good and the bad. God's grace and God's love and God's passion for all humanity is poured out in the same amount amongst all peoples. So we all deserve to be called God's children. We all deserve to be called into God's plan of salvation. And this is especially difficult in times of crises and change. That deep wisdom which St. Paul enunciates today. Paul's advice to the church, to us, is that whatever the outcome of the imprisonment in which he is enduring, whatever situation that would befall the people who he's talking to today, is simply this, is to live your life in a manner worthy of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. That basically everything that we're about, our entire faith life, can be summed up in that very, very short statement. To live out our lives in accordance with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do this, when we allow our lives to be formatted and to reform and transform into that very, very simple proclamation, then our paths turn around. Then we begin to recognize God's generosity for what it is, what it truly is, this generous love, this care, this compassion that he embraces each and every person with. The just wage of God is given to all when we live in a stance of gratitude and thanksgiving rather than competition or control. The disciples' question of what is it, what's in it for ourselves, is a question of limitation, setting them apart from everybody else, being very myopic in their view of what the kingdom of God is all about. Rather, we are called to be open to God's grace for all peoples, So often our value and our self-worth is based on our earnings or our family status or our history or what have you, not on the ways that we experience unmerited, unearned generosity. Envy, because of generosity, has no place in God's reign. As hard as it is to perceive sometimes, as hard as it is to swallow, to embrace, the last will be first, and the first will be last. Thanks be to God.